What's up, everyone? This is episode 16 of season 5 of Press X to Start podcast, the multi-award winning podcast where we try to transform the video game media landscape through a underserved and protected point of view and bring restorative justice to the underrepresented programmers, developers, and consumers. I'm your host, your heavyweight champion from Wish Nigga Wood, California, a.k.a. the janitor because of be watch niggas, a.k.a. Elon Bust. Marcus Ellison.
They ain't hit for me the same way they normally do. Oh.
He said your jokes suck.
It is. Sean M.F. Ross.
What does M.F. stand for?
Atropos Adventurer.
Whoa.
What?
Is the Atropos silent? There's no M in there, is there?
Atra pussy?
Sure.
And I am DJ. When I am not the AKA Interstellar Don, I am the AKA Peepin' Don. Because I make all the AKA sexy bad choices in the new Pokemon Snap.
I didn't like that.
That's not about you.
Okay.
It's about the photos I take of you. Yo.
We're going to get a restraining order on this man. A cease and desist.
Nothing will stop my high school.
Not even the police. Go ahead. Who is this?
And it's Jordan, a.k.a. JXPot. I don't really have any other AKs in that one. I mean, I can be the Star Citizen, I guess, but...
That works.
I don't know.
You should be the Black Yakuza. The Black...
Who's
Yakuza?
The...
Yasuke, basically?
Yeah, Yasuke.
Oh, yeah. He's the Yasuke of the Yakuza.
We need to watch that and do a ramble on that.
Mm, I know it's good.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you know, you're right. Yeah. That's a good point. Because I listened to the soundtrack, like, recently. It's very good.
Mm-hmm. How much hip-hop did it have in it?
It's Flying Lotus, so a solid amount, but not as much as you think.
Oh, all right.
It's very jazzy.
I guess. Oh, I like that. I like that word. Very.
Anyway.
But now that we're all introduced, we're going to go into what we've been playing. And to start us off, Jordan, what you been playing?
I've been playing a lot this week. I'm finally getting used to Game Pass being on my PC and Xbox at the same time, so... I was pretty skittish at what games I'd be downloading onto my PC, you know, just to get a better understanding of its full capabilities.
Are you double fisting two controllers?
No.
Oh, okay.
I'm not. But I do need to upgrade my RAM, though, because like, it's a good graphics card, but I'm at like 32 gigs.
Okay.
And it can handle up to like the 160s or whatever.
Is it DDR4, 5, 25?
I don't know if that applies
Okay.
To what I was talking about, but sure. But
and he's showing his limited knowledge of Xbox stuff.
Yeah, well, the thing, I was talking about my PC, so. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but in the same vein, I've been playing Destroy All Humans, the remaster, which is available on Game Pass or PC.
Yeah.
Beautiful game. Excellent remaster. Very sad I missed this when I was a child because it came out back for the original Xbox and PlayStation 2. And it got some good ratings back then. I mean, it's a pretty fun, you know, silly game of its time. So I highly suggest checking it out. So, you know, the remaster just came out.
You know what?
Not too long ago.
Every time I think of that game, I think of Mars Attack. Is it Mars Attack, that movie?
Oh, yeah. It's very close to that. Yeah. It's very close to that. You're not wrong for thinking that.
Mm-hmm.
But also, I've been playing Wreckfest. If you do get PlayStation Plus, Wreckfest is available. But it's the PS5 version, which is unique.
Really?
Because usually they would have the PS4, PS5 version together.
Yeah.
Or just the PS4 version. But I think this might be one of the first PlayStation Plus games that's like exclusively PS5. And I highly recommend it. I've been playing it on Game Pass for the past few months. And if you want to own that game, you can get it through PlayStation Plus. It's a very, you know, like I think I talked about it in the past, you know, it's a lot of what Dirt used to be,
mm-hmm,
in terms of how heavy it was on physics.
Okay.
And car destruction. But it's a very, very fun game. Like, pretty gruesome wipeouts, mm-hmm, of your competitors, like them flipping upwards and like crazy tracks and shit. So yeah, check it out.
Wait, so real quick, I just quickly looked up Wreckfest. Is there a loop-de-loops in this game?
Yeah, I just went through one the other day, and it kills a lot of motherfuckers. Like, people
you
are
got me.
Out that. You play that game online, just it's psychopaths. It's not even about, like, for me, I'm not trying to get first place. I'm just trying to get to the fucking finish line. Because, like, there's some people that will literally, like, back up and turn around and try to, like, go through the whole track.
You're just trying to survive.
Yeah, that's what it's all about.
See, that's something that I would do.
Yeah, so, like, there's a whole bunch of fucking DJs online just fucking up for everybody. And, yeah, I'm Yakuza 0, just, you know, nothing. I mean, like, a lot has changed, but I'm just trying to get through it.
Mm.
You know, I mean, like, I go a long periods of time without playing it, but I get back into it, and then I play it for, you know, a pretty good amount of time, and then, but I'm going to try and finish it before the next cast, because I left it a few weeks back at a pretty pivotal point in the storyline, but I'm not at the place where the two main characters have met each other yet.
Is there...
And I'm...
Mm-hmm. I was gonna say, is there like a progression tracker on there? So it's like you were this percent is done with the game.
It's just chapters. I don't know how many. I kept myself blind to how many chapters, just in case. I just didn't want to, like, you know, like, okay, now this is the ultimate climax, because, you know, like, I'm one chapter out of completing the game.
Gotcha.
But there's like this one character that's such a, like, he's the biggest piece of shit antagonist. He's like, yo, my job is to beat you up and fight you. I don't care how much money I lose. I don't care how many times you beat me. My goal as Yakuza is to stab you in your big toe.
Is that the same dude? Is that the same, like, Debo dude that you saw?
No, like... no. He's actually, like, one of the head Yakuzas. Like, he's just a big asshole. And he's, like, he's hilarious.
That's major Green Ranger vibes.
Right. I'm gonna jump in your Megazord and take it.
I mean, he said point blank. He's like, yo, just this is my job. This is my goal of the story, my guy. I'm just here to, you know, like, run over you with a motorcycle.
He looks at the camera and says, yeah, I'm going after you.
It's good to know your job,
right?
Yeah. And I played Star Citizen. I installed it I think maybe a couple weeks ago now. My computer has not exploded yet, but
that
shit is roaring. It is screaming in pain playing this game.
Hell!
Right? Yeah. George played the game. The computer was like,
it is literally a jet engine next to me. I'm like, are you okay? I'm like rubbing it. Like, are you okay? Like, are you sure? And
I thought that was Starfield at first when I saw you post it.
No. It was Star Citizen.
Yeah.
Star
Citizen.
Like,
go ahead.
No, you're fine. Go.
So I listened to Rooster Teeth podcast, and on there, Gus Sarola, he was a big Star Citizen advocate, and basically, the game opened early access, but it also opened with the in-game store where you can spend actual money.
Yeah.
So people have been dumping money into this game. This game's been going in development forever, essentially.
For like it's basically been 6 years.
Yeah.
And even now, like, it's kind of like where Crysis was when it came out. Like, can it run Crysis?
Mm-hmm.
Now it's like, can it run Starfield?
Yeah.
And mine can run Starfield without, like, almost catching on fire.
Oof.
Like, it is, but, like, I'm getting a better understanding of the PC gamer culture.
And real quick, Gus Sarola on one of the podcasts, like, pretty much came out and was like, so I have something to admit. I've looked at my account and I've spent plus $600 on Star Citizen.
Jesus.
That's ridiculous.
Buying the ships and stuff. And it's just
I've only spent 70 so far.
Okay.
It was 40 for the initial install and $10 here or there for some nice looking.
You gotta get your weight out, Jordan.
Ships. Hey, I'm not trying to be a punk out in these streets. But
ooh, look like trash. You only spent $70 on that? Mm-mm.
This game has no tutorial, so, like, it took me about 20 minutes to get out the bunk, because I went to the global chat and asked, like, how do I get out of bed?
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, well, usually I drink coffee, or, you know what, I'm more of a tea guy. And I'm like, I just gave them an XD, and someone was like, press Y, my guy. press Y out the bed. And
press
like,
Y right. to lift up your left leg.
Right.
Press X to lift up your right leg.
Wiggle your big toe.
Press O to pick up your torso. My man out here playing quap.
Yeah, I was gonna quap. That's so
alternate the triggers to shake yourself violently to wake up.
it migrated from me knowing how to get out of bed to me like knowing how to get out of the fucking room.
Oh my god!
So then I got out the room. And
progress.
This is a giant fucking space station. It took me 2 hours to figure out where my shit was. I had to put in a request. For my jet, I had to take a tram over to it.
Wow.
Like, this thing is fucking insane.
Jordan's like, where's my ship? Anyone, have you seen my ship? Where's my ship?
I'm just walking around, you know, like I
and
like,
no one talks to you.
Like, it was like an airport.
Fuck out of my way.
It was a literal airport. And I'm trying to figure out where my fucking shit is. So.
Man, I had to go through customs, space customs.
And he had to go to TSA.
I haven't gotten, like, I wasn't able to get to my shit until, like, my third playthrough of that game. Like, that's how immense the story was. So
that's wild.
He had to check his space Hennessy in.
Yeah. And lastly, real quick, Elite Dangerous. I now know how to land on planets. I'm no
Congratulations.
Longer jetting, flying past them 2 light years per second. My math is correct.
Nailed it.
So yeah, that's what I've been playing.
Okay.
You're in a big space mood lately.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Hey man, just take the full deep dive. Go ahead and get EVE Online.
Oh.
You know, that's not a bad idea. I'll put that in consideration.
I'm joking. Please don't do that. We'll never hear from this man again.
But, okay. Well, what you been playing, Sean?
Ha! So I jump back into Demon Souls.
Hey.
Did you get past the first boss?
So fucking stupid. I beat the first boss, which is like a goopy thing called a phalanx, and he has like a bunch of shields.
Oh, yeah.
Did that very slow. I did that a while ago. I got to the second boss on the first world, which is, I think I talked about this last time. He's called the Tower Knight or whatever. Come up through.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that you don't have to beat him to go to the other world.
Yeah. Fuck you.
There's just a ring, and you can go to all the worlds at will. I think you're even encouraged to do so.
It's like Mega Man.
Yeah. So I went to the second world, and shit, it's like this outdoor sandy world, and immediately, like, there's these dudes at the top of a tower throwing rocks down trying to hit you. I just took my time and shot them with a bow and arrow and walked past calmly. But they're trying to tear you up. I got through this area. There's a bunch of fire and lava, and it's a mine shaft where like people are walking around with pickaxes and crazy stuff. Then I went to another place. I think you started out on like this narrow balcony that went all the way through, and I'm like, all right, I'm good. There's nothing here until somebody starts shooting like magic beams at me. I'm like, all right, I'm done with this. I just left immediately. I didn't walk no more than 20 feet in. I was like, you know what? Nah, I don't have anything ranged. Just this ain't for me.
From Software, where everyone and everything wants the smoke at all times of the day.
Like, he couldn't even physically get to me. He was just on the other side of the balcony shooting stuff.
He's like, hey!
Demon Souls, you don't belong here.
Go back to where you came from. I went to the fourth world and shit, you step like 2 feet in and immediately there are these skeleton creatures that immediately start tumbling to you, jump up and start to slash you.
The fuck?
I don't know. It's just really this game is strange.
Gymnast?
But
what?
I don't know. But I realize in the normal worlds, you beat the million basic characters, you get maybe like 8 to 20 souls. You kill the skeletons, you get a good 300 something.
Oh my god.
Granted, they're a little bit harder. But then I also realize when you go back to exit the world, you don't have to exit. You can just click in to reload the same world.
There you go.
And it refreshes your health completely.
Nice.
So what I started doing was cheesing. I would go kill two, walk to the front, and reload it again until I had enough to level up.
Sounds like I'll see you two later.
Just give me 10 seconds. I'll be right back.
Same time next week, Dave? All right.
And then upon killing...
Wait, real quick.
I don't remember where I...
Are any of y'all familiar with Goblin Hunter?
The anime?
Yeah.
I heard about it, but I didn't watch it.
Okay. I was going to make a joke of Sean, like, 2 hours later, I am the skeleton hunter.
Tis I.
At some point, something dropped this big-ass club with spikes in it. And, like, before, I was just using a one-handed scimitar or, you know, a dagger or what have you. Mm. I was like, you know what? Let me try some two-handed things. I tried a bastard sword that takes two hands. I tried a pole arm. And then I tried the bat with the spikes in it. It is my Lucille. I am walking around and beating this shit out of anything with this damn bat.
Little pig, little pig.
Like, that's awesome. I went back to early game, and this is just one-shotting everything, of course.
Everybody looking like Glenn.
Yeah, originally, like, these blue-eyed knight things were, like, beating my ass when I had the sword. These things are only taking two hits with this big-ass bat.
Damn.
It was even this red-eyed knight that I used to run away from. Like, if you catch his eye, he'll just chase you throughout the level, at least as far as I've seen. Mm-hmm. I was finally able to beat him just once. It didn't happen again. He's just hard. Mm. But once you beat him, it opens up a door to fight one of the kings, King Alant or something like that.
Mm. King Charles.
He basically said, are you sure you want to do this?
He was like, hey, you have to sign this disclosure before we fight.
Exactly. I'm not liable for what's about to happen to you, okay?
Like, I opened the door that he was in, and I walked in 2 feet, and he was pretty much like, are you sure you want to do this? And I was like, you know what? Fuck it, I got my bat. Walked in a few more feet, and he kind of like jumped out and like, oh.
He pulled out the exact same bat. I was like, oh no.
My man chopped me down in one swing. I said, you know what? All right, I'm done with this game.
Can you imagine like being about to get in a fight with somebody and they ask you, are you sure? Like,
yes? Okay, sign this waiver, please.
My man demolished me in one swipe. Oh, yeah, I ain't have time to block, dodge, nothing. So I said, you know what?
I'm gonna go.
Let me just go back to bullying lesser creatures. But I turned that off.
Wait. Sean walked in. The guy was like, are you sure? Sean's like, yeah, let's go. The guy's like, Bankai.
Why did you say that? Was it me?
I'm the main character, not you.
The next big Sony exclusive came out, Returnal. I started playing this. Mm. I'm thoroughly enjoying this. This is a AAA roguelike, for those that don't know. I see a lot of people comparing it to Demon Souls or Soulsborne type games, but I wouldn't say it's anything like those. I'd more so say it's... this is like I grew up playing space shooter games, like, you know, those bullet hell games from back in the day. Mm-hmm. It's more so a 3D version, a fully realized AAA 3D version of those. Mm-hmm. And of course, I mean, back then, your progress reset. There was no saving back then. And it's a roguelike, of course, in the vein of Binding of Isaac, Enter the Gungeon, Spelunky. And I see a lot of people having trouble with this game. I didn't die until the first boss, and that's only because I kept on going in there like half health.
Okay.
I think I have a few videos to upload, but it's not kicking my ass as much as other people. I am enjoying a lot of the mechanics. Granted, they should add... I think they're working on adding in some type of save and quit mechanic where people can't cheese the game, because a lot of people are asking for them to lower the difficulty or... Make a whole nother alternate mode where if you die, you still keep your stuff. But that's changing the entire narrative of the story. So, I mean, I highly doubt they're going to do anything like that.
Sean was trained in the dungeons of roguelike. Right. He's not like the rest of you niggas.
I just tried the second boss before we got on, and I probably had him down to like an inch of his life before he killed me because I got cocky. A lot of these bosses have three phases, and on the third phase, they go buck wild crazy.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he started to do that. But, I'm playing Returnal. This is going to take me a little while.
In terms of your character's suit and weapons, like, what do you have?
You start out with nothing until you find your pistol. Mm-hmm. And then each time after that, you just start out with that. They have weapon proficiency, and that will unlock different traits to a gun. And then you have an alt fire. So you may have like a laser beam for your alt fire. You may have something that shoots out homing missiles. There's there's something with lightning.
Okay, okay. Do you have the sword?
Yeah, that's just a melee thing that you pick up. Yeah. You always carry that. There aren't switchable weapons. You just have one weapon at a time in this game.
Right.
And I mean, I guess that's fair. You don't want to be fumbling around weapons. There is no ammo to run out of. It just recharges automatically. Mm-hmm. And
What's been your favorite weapon so far?
I'm just sticking to the carbine weapon. There's a shotgun, but I'm not messing with that. They also have like a something called a hollow seeker, which is almost like a machine gun. And I started using that and upgrading it. And apparently, like, as you upgrade it, like, I unlock something that shoots out waves in addition to the bullets that I'm already shooting out.
Oh, nice.
It has a kind of online mechanic where, like, you can deposit their equivalent of currency into this receptacle. And as everybody does it online, I think
it's
like
Mr. Bucket.
Shut up.
Put the ball to my mouth.
No, you put in 300 of your currency, and once it reaches like 10,000 globally, then you can pull out an item.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, and then allegedly you're supposed to be able to see corpses of other people playing and like loot their corpses, but I don't think they implemented that, or that was probably cut at the last minute.
No, it's supposed to be in the game.
It's like Death Stranding, but with corpses.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know if you would have enjoyed this game, DJ.
Really?
I'll see if you can. I can have one of y'all play it so you can see, you know, what have you. But I'm thoroughly enjoying it.
How are the controls and the dashing?
So they have a parasite system, which can alter your controls. Like, it can give you a benefit as well as something that is not beneficial to you. So they may have something that increases your weapon proficiency, but then at the same time reduces your dash cooldown.
Okay.
Or, you know, increase whatever, you know, your protection. I haven't done a full deep dive into this, even though I've played 12 hours of it so far.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. That's what's up.
Yeah, man. This game has brought me to second place on our League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
Yes, it has, sir.
Awesome.
All right. Well, what I've been playing.
Marcus, what you been playing?
Outside of the general Overwatch, I got back into It Takes Two, this time with Avery. We got to the third chapter, and boy howdy, this game is definitely going to be on my game of the year list by the end of it, because this game, like, the first level is great, or the first chapter is great.
Introductory.
Yeah. But once you get to that second chapter, where basically you find yourself running across these squirrels who live in the tree.
That's what I was talking about. Yeah.
Yeah. And they're at war with these wasps that have invaded their tree space, and you have to kind of go out and take care of that. And they have a double agent who is in this giant robot acting as the wasp queen, and you have to deal
with
that.
You know, I thought that was another squirrel.
I did too. And man, that level expands the game in such a way. Just from like the, you know, the action set pieces and just the beauty of it, because there's a section where you're kind of like being carried by these lightning bugs or whatever. And then you're like these, I think, ghost fish or whatever. Like it's absolutely stunning. And I'm having a lot of fun with this game. And it's, I've gotten to the point where I'm no longer thinking about whether or not that book is problematic, and I'm more thinking about this nigga is annoying, and I hope he's the, and I hope he's the final boss so that I can scrap him. Like, I hope so.
I like how the wife still can't believe that certain things are happening.
Yeah.
While there are goddamn dolls running around.
Right. Like, it cracks me up every time Cody's like, so you don't believe in this possibly happening, but, you know, we're in a tree right now helping squirrels. And I'm like, you know what? When you're right, Cody, because I'm going to need you to get with the plan, May. I'm going to need you to get with the plan.
This is highly illogical. This can't be happening.
You're really a doll. Really you are a toy. But yeah, I'm looking forward to continuing that. I'll probably have more to say about it this week because Avery and I are pretty much probably going to finish this game, especially after we finished A Way Out together. So we're going to run through this as well. So yeah, that's what I've been playing. And
that's what's up.
To close it out, DJ, what you been playing?
I, of course, have been playing Gundam, as always, because it is who I am at this point. So real quick, Gundam actually released a new mode inside the game, which is Brawl mode, basically a free-for-all. And so generally, I am not that big into free-for-all because I prefer just doing team stuff. But Gundam has put me in a space where I often just like, this team is garbage, this team is garbage, this team is garbage. So doing the free-for-all, it allows me to basically just attack anyone who I want. It's pretty cool. So basically, their spin on it is whoever's in first place, it's a point-based, of course, free-for-all. So whoever in first place has the most points, you want to target that person. The person in last place, they get a defense and attack boost. And then the percentage of that boost pretty much decreases as you climb up the ranks.
Hey DJ, how many times have you had that attack and defense boost?
Like once. The thing is, like, you can because of how it's like the point system is, like, if you take out the first place player, you get a bunch of points from that person, and they also get deducted points. So oftentimes people are switching ranks throughout the game. The game's about like 5 minutes long or so. But it's fun. I didn't expect them to do that. I definitely thought it was just going to continue pushing forward with their general and normal release schedule of just releasing just different mobile suits. But they surprised us, so it was cool. The next thing I want to talk about is No Man's Sky. So as I said in my AKA, I am the Interstellar Don, but actually I am Captain Interstellar Don because I have a fleet now. So I have a command ship. I have I think about 5 fleet ships, and basically I send them to different galaxies and they do different things and they bring back resources and money for me. So I'm floating. No, I had about $11 million in this game, but I spent it on buying more ships and such. That game has expanded to a realm where it is literally space Minecraft. That's what that game is. And like, I have a funny story. I was doing a delivery mission where I had to deliver a package. Turned out it was dirt, whatever.
What?
It was a single item of boxed dirt.
Take utmost care of this, sir.
This came from Earth. So I had to deliver it to this radioactive planet. I was flying into the planet. I was literally just going to drop it off, take my ship up, go to my fleet and jump to a different universe to continue doing what I was doing. I fly into this planet, and basically when you fly into a planet on No Man's Sky, it does a thing where it shows you the atmosphere of the world. It shows you the ground. And then, you know, as you slowly get closer, it kind of like pops in different environments on the ground. And then until you get close, then you land and you're on the ground. This planet was a little different because I was going through, did the whole atmosphere thing, and there's just like yellowish smoke, and I'm like, this is strange. I don't understand what's going on. And as I'm flying down, my ship's like shaking, and it's like it sounds like it's hitting different particles and stuff. I'm like, what the fuck is happening? And I literally was like, this doesn't feel right. And I pulled my ship up, and as I pulled my ship up, I was like maybe feet from the ground. So I would have literally crashed into this planet. I would have pulled Jordan. But turns out when I landed, the place that I was targeting was actually having a supercell storm. So that's basically a radiation storm.
Is that where Cell comes down and like he fights everybody on that planet and absorbs them?
That would explain the yelling and the energy beams. So like that was cool because that game continues to provide just new and just different situations that I'm put into, and just like, all right, well, I guess I gotta figure this out.
As long as you're doing it in single player.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Multiplayer is not gonna bang like that. And then the other thing was, there is space combat in this game, and it's pretty cool. They had it originally when they launched the game, and it was not great. It wasn't fleshed out. There was a lot of issues with that whole thing. It got a lot better, and it's actually something that I kind of look forward to. But I kind of ran into an issue where I bit off a little more than I could chew. So I ended up fighting a couple of starfighters or whatever. And I was like, all right, this is fine. And they sent another wave. I'm like, all right, I could do this. Beat that wave. They sent another wave. I'm like, okay, I'm kind of running out of shields now. So I ended up beating them. And in between different waves, you're free to boost and try to get as far as you can or whatever. Mm-hmm. But if they spot you, it will cut off your boost. So you have to like deal with them or send out like some kind of distress beacon or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So I managed to get away from them, and I boosted towards my fleet. All right, no, we'll say boost. It's like a super boost kind of thing towards my fleet. So I'm going towards my fleet, like looking at the clock thing to make sure like I get to my fleet before it like resets and sends another wave of spacecraft for me. I got to my fleet. The only problem is that I didn't stop my ship. So I super boosted into my actual space, my giant space fleet ship. Mm-hmm. And you're not supposed to do that. So my ship ended up stuck into my space fleet ship.
Oh.
And I'm just like,
oh no,
fuck. So I was trying my best to get out and so on and so forth. It was basically a bug that I triggered. So I just had to reload my save, and I just I just lost all that stuff that I did with that. So it's just like, ugh, all right. Well, at least I know not to do that again.
Yeah, DJ, I think we get it. You painted all your ships with Jamaican flag colors and, you know, all types of exploits. So is that the game? Is that what's going on?
You know, you're not wrong. You can customize your fleet ship colors and stuff, but I don't have it. It's not unlocked yet.
Gotcha.
The last game I want to talk about real quickly is new Pokemon Snap. As I said in my AKA, the Peepin' Don. Pokemon Snap is... What's wrong, Marcus? You don't like...
Nope.
new Pokemon Snap is basically, if you are old enough to remember what Pokemon Snap is,
which
then
is a good
congratulations.
Question. That shit came out in 96 or some bullshit?
Yep. For Nintendo 60.
Whoa, 96?
A long time ago. Yeah, I think so.
That don't sound right.
Someone can look it up, but
99.
Oh, 99. That was close. That was really close.
Let's see, what?
90s.
But the game is fun. It's, I feel like it tries to hit the same vibes as like Animal Crossing New Horizons, in terms of like, it's the summer game you can play because it's nice and bright and so on and so forth. But it's one of those things where it's, if you've played Pokemon Snap before, you have an idea of what Pokemon Snap is, then you are more likely to like this game. I actually showed Shireen like what the game is and like pretty much what you do, and kind of give her a sense of like, this is, you're on a track, you're taking pictures of different Pokemon and so on and so forth.
You're being a creeper, a professional creeper.
Yes, professional creeper. Thank you very much. You got to add professional because you're making experience points.
Can you make
it.
TikToks of Pokemon twerking? Squirtle, squirtle, squirtle,
squirtle, squirtle, squirtle. I mean,
you want to see a fine woman in a bounce with her. I'm sorry.
But so in this game, like, I wasn't, once I explained to Shireen, she's like, wouldn't that be boring after a while? And I was trying to explain, like,
thank you, Shireen.
Well, no, actually, it would be, it changes, it does a good job of changing up the environment and so on and so forth, so it's not, like, completely, it's not the same thing you're doing over and over again. But yeah, it's pretty cool. I'm enjoying myself. I've only spent maybe about 3 hours playing it, so more on that later on.
All right.
Okay.
Well, that is what we've been playing this week. And before we go any further, we just want to direct you to our YouTube channel, because we have a Invincible Ramble review that we just did. And if you haven't seen them already, we have our Mortal Kombat and our Falcon and Winter Soldier rambles. And in the coming weeks, we'll probably do a Yasuke ramble for the Netflix show. And we've got some other stuff that's coming up. So just keep looking at our YouTube channel. And please like and subscribe.
Do it.
Subscribe to us, nigga.
Hey, everybody. Have you been enjoying this episode so far? Would you like to make sure you keep getting the best last news, reviews, and all things video games? Then we need your help. If you haven't already, please subscribe to our show. And if you have, share it with your friends, your family, frenemies, people down the street. Every little bit helps. To see what we're up to throughout the week, follow us on either Facebook and Instagram at PressX2Start, on Twitter at PressX2S, and on YouTube at PressX2StartTV. If you've done this, many thanks. You're one of the good ones.
And we're back. And now it's time for the quick hits.
I'm drunk off tea. Number one, this comes from VGC. Last of Us 3 story outline has already been written. So that's pretty cool. You know, I'm not exactly sure how surprising this is. You know, we don't really get privy to how soon story stuff is started when it comes to game development. So this is kind of cool.
Yeah.
So at least if they want to go after this, or if they want to proceed with the Last of Us 3, there's already a thing there.
Yeah, makes sense. And given what Druckmann has said in the past, it doesn't surprise me that they've already at least outlined something just because of how they handled the story in 2.
Right, right. So Druckmann also suggested that the studio is currently in the process of deciding which project to work on next. So they have a couple games lined up.
Yeah, nice. We talked about it last week, at least. Kind of like the Uncharted series, the writer coming back, so that's in the cards.
Yep. Number two, this comes from IGN. The Last of Us movie fell apart because it was too action focused.
Good.
Yeah. yeah, you know, whatever.
That story is not
The Last Action Hero.
Yeah, right, but it's also that story is not built for a movie format. It is built more so for a television show, which is what we're getting.
Or a play, stage play.
Or that, yeah.
DJ may have read too action focus, but I read not enough vengeance focus.
No, we're talking about Last of Us 1. Last of Us 2 would have been a big old vengeance fest.
Oh, that's actually a good point. I automatically assume Last of Us 2. Wow.
Yeah.
So number three, this comes from blog.playstation.com. PlayStation had a state of play where they showed Subnautica Below Zero. It was a very quick gameplay reveal of that game. They showed Among Us coming to PlayStation 4 and 5. And then they also had a 15-minute deep dive of Ratchet & Clank Rift Apart.
I will say real quick before we go into the Ratchet & Clank, because Among Us is now on PlayStation 4 and 5, we have to stream it at least once.
Yeah. True, true.
Yeah.
The thing is, I wonder how the muting of the mic and stuff, how that's going to go.
Well, at least on your PS5 controller, you can just mute your mic.
You're right. Yeah. I forgot about that.
They'll probably have it already built in, my guy.
I hope. So yeah, Ratchet & Clank, they showed this game. This game looked absolutely fan-fucking-tastic. I cannot wait to get this game. It comes out June 11th. In this video, they showed some Ratchet stuff. They showed some Rivet stuff, which is the female Lombax that you
Rivet
see.
Rivet is voiced by Commander Shepard, Jennifer Hale.
Oh, that's
awesome.
Shout out to Jennifer Hale, getting work.
Yeah.
Also, what was the female Clank's name again?
So in the video, there's one point where she's working on a red robot. It actually looked like the robot from the Bad Robot movie. It looked kind of like that. But she's working on that robot with Clank, and this giant robot like snake thing bursts through the wall, and they're like, the giant robot snake thing basically tries to suck up Clank.
Phrasing.
And she sees that happening or whatever, and she goes to run after it, but then she turns around and she grabs the red robot and puts her in her like back or whatever, and then she goes out to do the thing that she does with her hammer. and we don't know what the name of the the robot is yet, but we are speculating that it might be Shinklankwa.
She will always be Shinklankwa in my heart.
Yes.
Resume in the trash.
And then they just kind of go through and just show off some of the different planets for the game. The movement options you have in this game. You have a new dash that's like a phantom kind of cool dash thing that Ratchet and Rivet can
Shadow do, images behind it.
Yeah. Shadow clone jutsu.
I like the strafing's back.
Yes.
You hold
yes.
R1 and move, and you're locked to a left and right motion.
The biggest thing of this game is just how pretty the game looks.
Mm-hmm.
And what really blew me away was that I was watching the game on stream on YouTube, and it's like, that's 1080p right there. Like, I checked my stream, like, it was 1080p, and it looked like I was watching 4K. I cannot wait to see what this game looks like just running off of the console.
I mean, I give a lot of these Sony studios a lot of credit for being able to, you know, make 1080p or upscale these 1080p's to 4K resolutions, because they're like some of the most beautiful games that have come out this generation.
Mm-hmm.
Have
mm-hmm.
even though they weren't full native 4K, the eye couldn't tell. Like, you're still getting a great product.
Yeah. And then to go along with that, there was a news story about Ratchet and Clank that loading is just 1 second. It'll be even faster in final game.
My God,
I cannot wait.
All right.
Number four. This comes from The Verge. Fortnite's cash cow is PlayStation, not iOS. Court documents reveal. So this goes along with the whole court document stuff that we had talked about way before. So basically, the court documents revealed that PlayStation 4 generated 46.8% of Fortnite's total revenue from March 2018
That's bonkers.
Through July 2020. Yeah, while Xbox One, the second highest platform, generated 27.5%, iOS ranked fifth with just 7% of total revenue. The remaining 18.7% would be split between Android, Nintendo Switch, and PCs.
So people are still playing, or mostly playing Fortnite on consoles. They're not doing mm-hmm. it on their phones and stuff. Even though I had that story about that one chick I saw before pandemic, like some high school student that like literally walked into a wall playing Fortnite on their phone.
Oh, yeah. I remember that.
This is encouraging. I'm glad they're not playing it on their phones.
Right. Number five, this comes from Games Radar. PS5 is being sold at a loss, but generates record gaming revenue for Sony. Yeah. Sony revealed that 7.8 million PS5 consoles have been sold at the conclusion of 2020 fiscal year as of March 31st, surpassing the 7.6 million PS4 units sold at the same time period. So that's pretty good. You know, everyone wanted PS5s, and, you know, it was harder to get PS5s due to the pandemic and to the scalpers. So,
mm-hmm.
yeah. Number six comes from IGN. PS5 is the most popular console to develop for, survey suggests. Also not surprising seeing how PS4 did so well. So, of course, PS5 would kind of follow the same trend.
Yeah, it hasn't gotten a stink yet.
Right.
The Jim Ryan stink.
So this poll said that 44%, there was over 3,000 game industry professionals. So 44% chose PS5, 38% chose Nintendo Switch, 30% chose Xbox Series X/S, and VR platforms was at 27%. So
Oculus Rift and whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then 2% was for Sega Dreamcast.
Hey, there's still alive. People releasing brand new games for like
Vita,
the Dreamcast, and the Super Nintendo, and all that type of shit.
Mm-hmm.
Oddly enough,
number seven. This comes from the Gaming Bible. PlayStation investing $183 million into exclusives over the next year. Yeah. Not really surprised by that. Number eight.
One thing I will say: PlayStation is very efficient with their spending. Microsoft is like spending quintuple that amount on one game, be it, you know, Halo Infinite. But one thing that Sony has been able to do is get a tremendous amount out of, you know, smaller scale investment, which is what companies want to do. Like, you want to have a company that's efficient.
Right.
Admittedly, PlayStation kind of has no choice but to be more efficient with their spending because they have less money to spend.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
Number eight. This comes from Tom's Guide. PS5 restock disaster. Sony may alter design to cope.
This is fucking crazy.
Yeah, Sony has bad news for gamers still hunting down PS5 restock. The tech giant doesn't expect to be able to significantly increase its ability to manufacture the PS5 anytime soon and may even change the design of the in-demand console to solve the problem. So we're going to get a pro version of PS5 already. That shit's going to be a con version of the PS5.
In generation console redesigns happen. You know, they'd happen to the Xbox One, they happen to the PS4 to a degree, be it like
PS3.
I mean, they can happen, but this is bonkers that the supply of the console is impacting its, you know, core strategy. Like, that's the new part of this.
Yeah,
I doubt that they're going to be altering the external design. It's going to be more something that you don't touch or see.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. They're going to probably use less microchips because that is part of the shortage. Like, the shortage of microchips. We'll see. I mean,
because like a little face on the back.
You should have got it early. Number nine is from some Kotaku. Now every single Activision studio is working on Call of Duty. Well, actually, not every studio, but a majority of those studios are working on Call of Duty games. So Activision-owned Toys for Bob announced it was going to provide development support for the latest season of Call of Duty Warzone. The studio had previously worked on its own games, such as last year's fantastic Crash Bandicoot 4. I'm sorry, Sean. but has now effectively been consumed by the ever-growing monster that is Call of Duty.
And even after all of that, allegedly 2021's Call of Duty might be delayed.
Yeah. This is the same thing happened with Battlefield last year when they had Criterion, who did Need for Speed Hot Pursuit Remaster, the Burnout series, and they were expected to work on a new Need for Speed. So what was sacrificed within EA was the next Need for Speed game in service for Battlefield, to which they skipped a year. So Call of Duty's doing the same thing. They're skipping a year. And my question is the content of Call of Duty, because they're saying that this next Call of Duty will not be a Modern Warfare 2 remake.
It's like a World War 2 or whatever.
Yeah. Like World War game. Because like
that's a mistake.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like this actually works with a bigger overarching story of last year when Sledgehammer had to help Treyarch make their Black Ops game or something like that. So I think this is just the aftermath from that.
Well, we'll see how long this lasts, because I think a lot of it, a portion of it is pandemic. Another portion of it is, I think Generation 8 to Generation 9 has been more of a significant changeover than the previous generation. In terms of like demand and scale of games, they need to make sure they have the right amount of attention to it, or you're going to have a Cyberpunk 2077.
Yeah. I mean, again, like, I would rather the game be delayed than released bad because Cyberpunk broke a lot of people.
Isn't it sad that that's the mindset we have to have nowadays? Like, remember that period of time where just games, you'd expect them to come out and they would come out full and you could just enjoy them? Now it's like,
that was a long time ago. Hey,
of course. Right. Absolutely. But it's just a shame that
Armor Core 3. Boy, I love that game.
It's a shame that we're at that place where it's like, you know, well, I guess if I had to choose between the game not coming out anytime soon and it coming out bad, I'll pick the delay.
Yeah. It's just the ever expanding, complicated, like four headed beast with five anuses. That's just we're in the intestines.
Wait, what?
Yeah. I said it. Four headed. Yeah.
All right.
Number 10. This comes from Charlie Intel. That's a cool name. I like that. Donald Intel. That's gonna be my new AKA. New leak adds more fuel to Battlefield 6 Game Pass rumors. This is cool. So recent tweets from prominent industry insiders and leaker Tom Henderson has added more fuel to rumors that Battlefield 2021 may have a day one launch on Xbox Game Pass, which is pretty powerful. Well, I mean, that kind of makes sense because it's EA, and EA has been pretty lock in step with Xbox's Game Pass stuff.
Yeah.
That'd be cool.
Yeah.
Like, I think a good amount of the E3 conference, which you get into, like, literally after this, is going to be highlighting those third-party partnerships that are incoming this fall. I see a lot of sports games being on Game Pass this fall, day and date.
Makes sense.
I think this would be a big boon for Battlefield community.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Especially if they can just get it without having to pay a whole $70 for it. Yeah,
that'll have a lot of people jump from Call of Duty maybe to Battlefield.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Number 11. This comes from Tom's Guide. Xbox Series X tip to reveal 4 huge exclusives at E3 2021. Jordan, what are those 4 exclusives?
Forza Horizon is suspected to be this fall. And the last Forza Horizon 4 was announced the year that it released. Starfield, which has been in development for 5 years now, under Bethesda Games.
Yeah.
The other one, possibly Fable.
I was gonna say,
possibly Fable. And number 4, I don't truly know what number, like, in terms of unannounced, I don't know what number 4 is. I know it sure as hell is not Gears. You know.
I was wondering if it's stuff that we already know about or it's gonna be completely brand new.
Well, if it's stuff we already know about, then it could be something with Hellblade, but otherwise, I don't know.
Like,
Maybe Elden Ring?
Ooh.
It says to reveal 4 huge exclusives, so like that's the word I'm looking at.
Yeah.
I almost wonder if it will be... I feel like this is just completely me throwing a chewed gum piece at the wall and hopefully it sticks. It could be a Japanese game.
Could be.
Yeah, because I feel like that would be something that would give a good pop.
The Hideo Kojima conversation has been rolling for almost a month and a half now.
And it don't take him long to make a video, because it don't have to be a game that he
shows. That's true.
Sony was like, Hideo, we can't have a 40-minute cutscene. We can't do that.
Hideo's like, you know who I am?
Watch me.
Right?
Bunkai.
Right. Phil Spencer was like, we don't care, just we put on Game Pass, we don't care, just give it to us.
Right. Hold on, that was good. Last up, number 12, this comes from The Verge. Microsoft App Store changes crank up the Apple pressure. So Microsoft shook up the PC gaming industry this week with the announcement that it was cutting the fee it takes from game sales on the Windows Store. On the surface, it's a welcome move, with Microsoft matching the 12% cut that Epic Games take and putting more pressure on Valve, which takes a 30% cut on most Steam purchases, which is crazy. The cut is also a tactical move. Microsoft wants to help pressure Apple, and then this week's changes could play a role in the bigger app store battles kicking off next week. Mm. So, yeah, that's pretty cool. Good job, them.
They're fighting with Epic. They're fighting with Steam, because both of those platforms take a percentage out. And I think that Microsoft, Microsoft is going to be more in line with what Epic's take, percent take back for each purchase on their platform.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of fucking weird how PC gamers view themselves, especially ones that run on, like, they use Windows as their platform.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
For the past couple of weeks, they've been like, why isn't Game Pass PC not getting enough attention than that Game Pass on Xbox Series X? And, you know, why is Microsoft doing it? I mean, you guys were so holistically against considering yourselves a part of the Microsoft ecosystem, but now you want all this attention. So, hey.
That's a solid point, actually.
Fuck them.
Okay.
All these years, they were like, "No, we're not Windows. Microsoft sucks." Like, motherfucker, 98% of iOS systems on PC are like fucking Windows. Like, shut up.
Mm-hmm.
Talk that shit, King.
All right.
Drink that water.
Where's your Kente hat?
Right. You don't know where you came from.
We was kings, but so. That's it for the quick hits, and we're going to go into our one heavy hitter.
Mm-hmm.
Take it away, me. So, unless you've been living under a rock, there has been 2 big things that have happened with Blizzard recently, and we talked about the first one last week with Jeff Kaplan leaving, and the new one is that on Overwatch, they have released a MMA-based skin for Mei that involves her having corn rolls, and it is...
They're boxer braids!
and as you'd expect, it kicked up a lot of controversy within the Overwatch community and the internet at large.
Her brown skin friend set her up. That's what happened. Set her up. She's like, you're totally fine. This is gonna work for you. No one's not gonna say anything.
Sombra's like, Mei, it's gonna look so good on you. Just trust me.
like
Lucio gonna love this girl.
she was like, live your truth and all this other shit. Over here, like what's that? Rachel Donzel or
Dolezal. Mei Dolezal.
Not Mei.
They paid Arisa to give her corn rolls.
No.
Hold still. Why I apply the corn roll?
Please get behind the barrier.
Oh no.
So,
oh my God.
The skin is called MM Mei. Cute.
And it's going to be Mei.
Oh God.
It's going to be MMA.
It's going to be Mei. No, that's the what the fuck is their name? I don't
Justin
even know.
Timberlake. NSYNC, right?
NSYNC skin. There you go.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, those are when she has strings and a marionette shit on her. Yeah. Hey, epic. Epic. We want our royalties.
Give her frosted tips too.
And you know, frankly, I'm not entirely sure why, like, usually they do kind of new skins and skin packs coordinated with like an event.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not really sure where this one came from or why they decided to do it, but the controversy is obviously based around her having a historically black hairstyle.
Yep.
Now, they are kind of able to exploit a bit of a loophole, and that's kind of something that people have been retaliating with the fact that it is mixed martial arts themed, and a lot of female boxers and female MMA fighters wear protective hairstyles, which is, you know, cornrows usually or braids of some sort, right. You know, so that it makes it easier for their hair not to get grabbed or anything in the cage.
Right.
She studied African-American studies with Zemo.
With Zemo.
And a lot of people on Twitter, in retaliation to a lot of the controversy, posted pictures of Zhang Weilai, I think her name is. She's a Chinese MMA fighter, and she usually wears braids, and that's basically where people are assuming that they got the inspiration for the Mei look.
Right.
But that kind of hand waving ignores the appropriation that people are bringing up, because the choice to give Mei a black worn hairstyle is odd, considering there is a disproportionate amount of black characters in the game. There are no black female characters in the game except Arisa, and Arisa's a robot. Right. And, you know, we haven't got Sojourn yet because we don't know when Overwatch 2 is happening. So the fact that the first black female hairstyle that we see is on a Chinese woman, it's understandably side-eye worthy. And to add insult to injury, Blizzard said the skin was inspired by the intensity and distinctive fashion of mixed martial artists. And, you know, like...
Kaplan was like, nah, I'm out. I'm not doing it.
Maybe this is what Kaplan was like. Kaplan saw them. They're about to do this. He's like, nope, I'm getting out before this happens.
Won't be me. I know that much.
And, you know, like... The fact that that was their retort instead of like reading the tea leaves and being like, guys, that wasn't our intention. We are sorry, you know, or having any sort of apology is, I mean, they had to know too, you know, like there's no.
Not necessarily.
Actually, Sean has a point there. This is this is what we're cutting in at right now. Like, who's in the room making these decisions?
That's what I was about to say. Like, depending on who was in the room, you know, like if they had, obviously, if it's like a just a bunch of old or older white people who maybe, you know, I guess, just aren't as in tune, then maybe they just didn't even register.
We're assuming that there are no black people in the room and that they didn't have a problem with it. Like, sure, I mean, whatever, you know.
But
that's true, too.
A problem that's continued to thematically be a thing is that there is a lack of representation of black people, brown people in the video game industry. That's why Sony's having their initiatives. That's why Microsoft's having their initiatives. Is to rectify that. I mean, like, these issues can occur more frequently if, you know, like, there continues to be an issue with, you know, representation and decision making.
Mm-hmm. I think it kind of, like, we can have, you know, people of color in the room, but if they're not in leadership, then it doesn't really make a difference.
Right. If they're, you know, just grunts, then it's highly unlikely that the higher ups are going to actually take their thoughts into account. Unfortunately.
Y'all are assuming that even if we had black people in leadership, they would have taken issue with this. Well, I mean, let's suppose you had a Candace Owens make
that's
decision.
True. That's true.
That's in that rare instance of Candace Owens' very troubling brain. those types of black people can exist.
No,
but
that's
the probability
true.
Of it, you know, is lessened if you have, you know, like
more you know, black yeah. people in the room, you know.
Candace Owens, one of the bad ones.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and another Twitter user brought up a point which I just thought was kind of funny, where they said that basically, given May's actual hair length, she would have had to get a weave to achieve this hairstyle.
Some extensions.
I mean, she just wouldn't have no hang time.
I mean, no, but she got hang time in the skin. Yeah, oh, so yeah. She would have had to get weave. Like she.
But okay, but that's touching on a larger issue. White women do get weaves too.
And
they get hair extensions.
What I'm just saying is, getting weaves is not exclusive to black women. We shouldn't even be discussing this. We need black women on this cast.
That's true.
But no, I mean, like, well, to your point, I mean, she got the weaves and then chose a black hairstyle. She could have got the weaves and, you know, continued for white hairstyle, maybe, or braided it all the way down.
I get you.
That's true. She could have just had pigtails or something.
Would this be an issue if Symmetra got cornrows?
I'm not familiar with the game.
Or whoever the women of color is. I don't know.
Symmetra is one Indian. Of the... yeah, she's Indian.
You mean Sombra is...
okay, yeah, there you go. There you go. That's what
yeah.
I meant.
Yeah, no, if
shows you how much Overwatch I play.
I mean, frankly, I don't know. I can't call it. I'm sure that there would have been some sort of an issue. I don't know if it would have been as big of a backlash as May, but like I said, I can't call it.
You know what? This does remind me of our Apex discussion of Bangalore when she got a blowout.
Oh, yeah.
the hot girl summer.
Bangalore the Stallion.
Oh, speaking of Bangalore, she has dreads now. She has a dread kind of... Killmonger thing going on
hey,
in here right now.
Hey, let's go.
That's one of our newer skins.
That's what's up. So
basically, the moral of this. Oh, good.
I was pretty much going to say, like, I just feel like, you know, because there is no real black woman in Overwatch right now, you know, you're forced to look at this and just be like, oh, this doesn't feel right. But, like, it's not going to cancel Overwatch. It's not going to cancel May because May is fucking May and you won't ever do that.
How we all know she don't got one drop in her?
That's true. Awesome. That's very true.
One drop rule.
Canonically, that has not been confirmed. So.
also, you can't cancel a video game character. They don't exist.
You cancel the whole thing.
The internet will show you.
But what I will say is the moral of the story is they should have just put the cornrows on Orisa and called it a day.
Yeah.
You know what? I just might Photoshop that. Note to self.
They could have gave May like a different cut. It could have been like a really short cut, like the fade up the sides, have a little bit on top or something. It didn't necessarily have to be cornrows like this.
She could have had an updo. She could have had pigtails.
Or put her in the head, the protective gear, I guess.
Right.
That's also true,
You know, a top knot. Like, they could have done a lot of things, but they chose to do braids and, you know.
They could have gave her a Caesar.
May walks into the party and, like, one of those comedic...
Yeah.
And then it was like, you might be wondering how I got here. You might be wondering to yourself, how did I get here?
But yeah, so that's it. Take us home, DJ.
All right, this has been another episode of Press X to Start Podcast. We hope you enjoyed this episode as much as we enjoy making it. Don't forget to rate and review us on your favorite podcasting apps, because every little bit counts. Yeah. Also, make sure you like and subscribe on our YouTube channel, because every little motherfucking bit counts.
Oh.
Until next time. Actually, until next time, we'll be talking about Invincible, because you're going to be watching and listening to it at the same time, because you love us. You love us.
Yeah.
Peace.
Uno out.